Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I am Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in, as usual, for Ewan Rankin. And we have an amazing panel today. Actually, it's the Patrice and Jeff show today. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm just very, very, very busy right now. Lot to do. It's like... Obviously, I had not enough to do, so I started the project yesterday.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. No, I mean, it's a small one. Like, I'm building something for my little balcony so I can grow some, like, veggies. So
nice.
Started that yesterday. Didn't, like, I mean, obviously, I haven't finished it. Like, bought, like, most of the supplies I need and ran out of energy and didn't get everything, so...
If only you already had a veggie garden so you could have something to eat to have the energy to build a veggie garden.
Yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with that. It was just one of those days where you just like you're in the store and then you're like and you're almost like you're almost at the point where like, okay, just F this, I'm gonna like just leave. But then you don't wanna because you have to start over. So you're like, okay, I'm good. I'm just gonna stop here and just go like pay for this, leave, and come back another time. So that's what I did. I got enough so that I can get it started, but I need like a couple extra things still. Mostly the things I couldn't find yesterday. So
I'm looking forward to seeing the photos of your completed project.
It's gonna be really cool. Like it's basically like three like wooden boxes that I can stack. And then throw some veggies in that. So
nice.
And some herbs. Like I'm just like I bought some tomatoes, zucchini, some like basil, and what was the other one? Oh yeah, some lettuce, basically.
Nice.
Random assortment of stuff.
Nice.
So yeah. That's gonna be the next couple of weeks to finish. It's early in the year. Like it was really funny. Like I went to the local equivalent of Home Depot, basically. And or one of them, like we have multiple here for some reason. I went to the outside area where they have like all the gardening stuff and so on. And that was like, I mean, one, it was a complete ghost town. Two, there was like, it was a mess. There were like stuff in the aisles and like, it just, I think they're still getting ready and getting set up for like spring. So
or they just really don't care anymore.
That could be, but I have more feeling. I mean, in the winter, I don't think many people will buy, like, what do they have there? Like fences and stuff. I bet that's not something people in the winter would buy. And that's what the outside area is a lot, like fences and like pools and stuff like that. And like, whatever, like soil and all of that stuff. So I just have a feeling that like during the winter, nobody cares. It's kind of storage area for the store. And then like before spring, they clean it up and like get everything nice. And then people start buying things. And I'm kind of early. I mean, it is really cold still here. So like, I mean, it goes down like in the morning when I go for my walk, it's like 28 degrees Fahrenheit. So like -2. So I think it's too early, which... It's good. It was good because there was nobody there, so it was easy.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's an update on my really nice project.
Awesome. Okay. Well, like I said, looking forward to seeing the photos of the finished project.
Yeah. Follow me on Instagram. There will probably be progress updates, like step by step.
Well, if people want to follow you on Instagram, where do they go?
If I could remember, I've changed my just go to thepatrice.com and like there's a link. I think that's the easiest way because I don't even remember what I changed it to. I think it's Patrice Zoe B. Yeah, Patrice Zoe B. So all one word.
Okay.
But as I said, there's a link on my website.
Patrice.com.
Thepatrice.com. Patrice.com. Yeah, Patrice.com is like dead. So it's even domain parking. It's so old that it's just dead. Someone owns it, pays for it every year, and doesn't do anything with it.
So. See, if you're going to squat on a domain, you have to sell it at some point. Otherwise, you're just spending money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm patient. I will keep an eye on it, and it's if it ever gets released, even for like a second, it's mine.
It's yours.
Yeah, that's what I did with my main domain.
Nice.
Brandemore.net, Brandemore.de. They were taken at some point, and then someone released them, and I snatched them. So
nice.
There's that. Nice. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was woken up early a couple of days ago, one of the batteries in one of my uninterrupted power supplies failed, and so of course it's just this loud alarm going off.
Yep.
And those things don't fail in the middle of the afternoon.
No.
It's always in the middle of the night when you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I was just frantically rewiring all my stuff at my desk so that I could have a working station again. Mm-hmm. And the replacement battery for the battery backup shows up today.
Okay. As you're about to leave.
Just as I'm about to leave. Yep. And it turns out that it's a lot cheaper to buy a replacement battery for an uninterrupted power supply than it is to replace a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
Yeah, and it's also more environmentally mm-hmm. friendly. Yeah. Now all I'll have to do is take my battery to the hazardous waste center mm-hmm. in Boulder, and they'll take care of everything else. And
yeah, they're going to recycle it. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that too. Like, I have some issue here. I think it's just a general instability in like the power, so like the lines here in the house or something. I've been woken up a couple of times at like 4:30 in the morning
mm-hmm.
because something had triggered the main fuse in the apartment. And I've like, there's nothing plugged in, like everything is turned off. Like, I don't know even what it is, but that mm-hmm. the same thing, like my uninterruptible power supply started beeping, and I'm like, ugh. And it was like 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, why?
Yeah. I had the same problem for a long time. And mm-hmm. it turns out in my case, it was the electric meter. The contacts on it had worn out because it was so old. Mm-hmm. And so it was periodically just losing the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And other times the little plates, since they were slipping mm-hmm. and falling apart, they would kind of slip and short.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So
I doubt that's the case here because the meter is relatively new, like a couple of years old, like maybe 5 years old.
Yeah, my meter was older than many countries in Europe, I think.
Wait a second. I don't think so.
Probably not. Well, considering...
I don't know.
Okay. Well, how about older than countries in some of the less stable parts, politically stable parts of the world?
Yeah. I mean, Eastern Europe, like East, Southeast, maybe, like could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Possibly. I was like, then, like... If they're older than some countries in Europe, that would make them really old, like thousands of years old. I'm like, hmm.
Yes. My batteries are in clay pots with lemon juice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of really old technology, no, I don't know. I got nothing for that.
Well, as long as we're here, do you have a story?
I have a story, yes. And I'm actually going to go with... I'm not going to go with a hacking story. I'm not going to go with it. I didn't even start the chat. I'm going to go with a story about... what do I call them? They're not really smart locks. They're like your campus, like university campus locks. You probably didn't get that link because I posted it before
it showed up. A TechCrunch link.
Yes. Okay, cool. Yeah, I wasn't sure because it was saying I joined after I posted the link. that's fine. Yeah. So basically, you know, like university, like campus housing, probably not known for the best security, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, I mean, to be fair, this was an external company. So I don't know which university that was. I read the article. I don't remember. Maybe they didn't even mention it. Maybe for a reason. I don't know.
I don't think they mentioned it because I haven't seen.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, yeah, they maybe just say, for a reason.
Yeah.
A university.
His university's mobile.
Yeah. So basically what they had is the university had a mobile app. That you could log in with your like student ID, and then you could, for example, unlock your door, like some other stuff. But like one of the features was you could unlock your door. Mm-hmm. And the problem with the app was that it was super slow and sloppy. Like, you know, a lot of those companies that don't understand mobile apps and they create some crappy, probably like cross-platform wrapper application that doesn't behave, and half of the time it crashes. Like, kind of that thing.
And it doesn't matter what platform you're on, it just won't behave and it will crash.
Yeah, it's just crap. I don't know if that's the case here, but at least it got a lot of one-star reviews. So safe to say it wasn't very popular. So the guy, Eric Johnson, he decided, well, let's have a look like what this thing is doing. Maybe I can figure out a better way how to do this. Maybe I can write a better app. Like, and I think a lot of students, a lot of people in the development world, they've been there. Like, that's one of the obvious things. Like, if something bothers you, if an app doesn't work how you want it to work, especially when it's with hardware, make your own. So, yeah, he basically found a way to like have a one-tap, like a shortcut on his iPhone that would just allow him to unlock the door. And how this API works was really funny, because it does check if you're like the app does check if you're in front of the door. But the service behind it doesn't know how to do that. So all it does, like it basically just asks for the coordinates of like where you are, and then it compares that to the lock and it says, yeah, it's fine. But obviously, you can send any coordinates. So you don't even have to be close to the door. Like all you have to do is send the correct data to the API, and that's it. Then it unlocks. I said, not a bad, I mean, it is a really hard issue, because if you have to call an API somewhere to unlock the door, how do you secure it? So, like, I wouldn't know, like, honestly, I wouldn't know any better way. Like, the really stupid implementation would have been to not even bother with coordinates and simply say, well, the app checks it, and then it just says unlock. So they went a step further and at least sent the coordinates from the app to the backend.
Okay. So, well, I mean, at least they're trying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you have to basically, I mean, at least you have to know where the lock is in order to do that. That sounds reasonable, right? But, well, he looked further into the app. And I mean, very helpfully, the company who provides this has a list of API commands that you can send.
Okay.
They can all be controlled with your student ID, basically. So what he discovered then is, and that there's the problem, the API wasn't even checking if the student's credentials were valid. Anybody could basically send anything and it wouldn't matter. So he could pretend to be another student completely and do like all the things like unlock doors and whatever else that app can do. And all he needed was apparently the student's unique ID, which in a lot of cases was just their student ID. So it's not even like a backend database, a hash, whatever ID that like nobody would know about. Nope. Mm-hmm. Literally their student ID printed anywhere. And there are some student directories which actually list them, like publicly. Right.
I was just about to point that out. Yep. So you can, for many universities, get the list of names and student IDs, mm-hmm. which for something like this means you have all the information you need to be anyone as far as the app is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, basically he can unlock any door on campus because all he needs is to know where the lock is and who want the student ID of the person who's allowed to unlock that door is, which mm-hmm. I mean, for a student who is like at the location, not hard, probably can even do it for another, like another university. Because mm-hmm. I mean, the location of the locks might be a little bit harder, but not really. I mean, with Google Maps and so on, you can probably figure out roughly where they should.
I bet you can get close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's, as I said, and then like I said, from that point, it's a guessing game. Like which student ID unlocks which door, just try it. So, I mean, right. You can't do too much with it, I would bet. Well, not remotely. We can play some pranks, so on, like unlock doors.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like really, it is a problem because those doors are locked for a reason. And
right. Like, yeah.
So.
Yeah, pranks. That's the let's call it the white hat side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say someone has a grudge against another student, then they could use this.
For kidnappings, human trafficking, all of that, like unlock the mm-hmm. doors, take some students.
Mm-hmm. Or like, unlock the doors, go and take yeah. their computer.
Mm-hmm. True. Like you can steal things. Like, as I said, like it's, yeah. The next problem he ran into, like a little side thing, he couldn't even figure out how to report an issue to them.
Okay,
like that's he said, okay, I mean, it's an API bug, so probably something that the company should fix and it would affect other universities. So he couldn't find like a security email address or anything. He called the phone support and the representative said he didn't have a contact where he could report the bug. They basically told him he should report it to the school. It's like, okay, what's the school going to do then?
Right.
And same problem.
Right. The school's not going to have a contact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Apparently he somehow managed to do it. And like somehow it got to them. TechCrunch was able to confirm that. But it's still like, it's another case of really shoddy security where someone didn't really think about it. I said like there was no validation of student information whatsoever.
My assumption is that the people that wrote the code are not people that understand security. And I'm not saying yeah. that as a dig against them. It's just that's probably not an area that they've needed to previously have a lot of experience in. And yeah. so they did something that made sense to them,
mm-hmm.
but from a real security standpoint, it kind of falls down.
Yeah. I mean, there's another option here. The people who wrote the code, it was never intended to be used that way. Like maybe the idea was yeah. like it was supposed to be, let's say, for a company with like a closed network. I mean, these days also that is not the best idea, but let's say company with a closed network and people can just unlock their stuff. And I mean, there it's honestly the key cards aren't that different. They just have an ID and it unlocks mm-hmm. it or doesn't. So maybe for that case it was fine. But not with like students and student IDs, and someone like just connected whatever their student ID database and didn't do it properly, and then all of a sudden you have this problem.
And the next thing you know, it's a TechCrunch article.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As I said, like, I mean, that probably happens more than you think, right? Like something gets built for one use case and then sales decides to sell it to someone else. And all of a sudden you have to scrap.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Now, if I was a student at this school mm-hmm. and found out about this, I would be flipping tables because I would be so angry that there's essentially no security for me through, mm-hmm. through their app. And I would be actively doing what I could to disable their system from working with the locks that I need access to. Like if I'm yeah. living in a dorm room,
yeah,
I would find a way to make that lock stop working.
Mm-hmm. And apparently that wasn't the first time that the company had problems. So,
oh, great. So now they have a track record.
Yeah. At the end, there was like in 2009, Wired reported that it was possible to basically figure out what the next ID or the next sequence number in an unlock code would be. So you didn't even need a card.
Nice.
So,
well, that's convenient.
As I said, yeah, as I said, unfortunately, I've seen quite a few of such solutions where it said it was intended for one thing, and then it's used some other way, and then yeah. The lack of security that was maybe fine before is not fine anymore.
Right. Yep. And my assumption is, and I have nothing to back this up, that they went looking for a solution that was going to cost them as little as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a university, so yeah, you right. can assume that.
And looking at systems, say like hotels use, where mm-hmm. you can use your phone as the key for your door, that probably cost a lot more than they wanted to spend.
Mm-hmm.
But probably also didn't tie into other services that they wanted to include in this.
Yeah, I hope that the hotels don't use your room number.
Right? Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. So. Yeah.
I thought it was a funny story. Like, it's like amongst all the other stuff that's going on, this is kind of a funny story. I mean, nothing bad, as far as we know, nothing bad happened. It was fixed, and hopefully that's it.
Right. Yeah. So the takeaway for me is, if I were to ever go back to college and live in a dorm, which admittedly, this is not going to happen.
Yeah, you never know. Like, you might okay, just, like, you never in your know. 60s decide, I want to learn something new and just do it.
Yeah, but I don't know if
I mean, if you're going to live in a dorm, that's a question, yeah.
Yeah. But if I were, I would immediately start investigating the security for mm-hmm. any of the student apps that I use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think, a pretty good idea, especially if it has a one-star rating.
Right. Yep. Bad yeah. sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah,
but it's pretty typical at university. I was just thinking about that. Like, I mean, we had weird cobbled together solutions too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had like a, there was like TVs that were mounted somewhere in the building that would show like the schedule and especially the like a cafeteria menu for the day.
Mm-hmm.
That cafeteria menu was scraped from the cafeteria website, stuff like that. Because
of course
there was no other way to get the data. So yep. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, my story is about Samsung. And this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but apparently Samsung was throttling performance on apps to improve battery life on their smartphones.
Hmm. Where have we heard this story before?
I know. Where have we heard this story before? Yeah. So in this case, it was using their game optimizing service. which sounds wonderfully nebulous, like an app designed to throttle apps. Yeah. In many cases, this is an application that you cannot remove from your Android phone, and also is an application you cannot disable. So in addition to doing whatever it's supposed to do with gaming apps, Samsung had a long list of other popular applications that would have performance throttling applied to them to presumably improve battery life. And so let's see, some of these...
it's like Netflix, like the most used apps, like Netflix, TikTok, Microsoft Office.
Yep, that's what I was trying to
Samsung's
find.
Samsung's own apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, performance apps, they did not do for obvious reasons, like 3D Mark or GFX Bench. So
anyway, of course,
they missed the mark here. They should have found a way to like create a backronym, like call it GAS, Game Assimilation Technology. No, I don't know, like something with an A.
I agree. Total missed opportunity. So Android Authority has a list of all of the apps that they uploaded to Mediafire. So you can go and see everything that's being throttled. And of course, the crappy thing is that it's a thing that for a lot of people, they can't stop because it's on their phone without any way to disable it. For other phones, it's a free download. Why you would want to go and download this anyhow, I don't know, especially now.
Especially now, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could honestly, as a free download, I could see it more because if someone has, like, someone doesn't care about the performance of an app because you're like, I don't care if TikTok is like slightly worse.
Yeah, but the thing is,
and
they weren't saying that's what the app did.
Okay, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What did it do?
It was for games. Honestly, I have no idea what it did, but they didn't advertise it as something that was going to throttle performance on different apps.
Okay, then it's a problem. As I said, I would have said if they had said, okay, this optimizes stuff on your device. Why wouldn't you build it in? But okay. But you could download it and people are, I don't care and I like more battery. Yeah, sure, why not?
Sure.
Yeah. If people can choose, yeah, why not?
Yeah, then I agree. If people can choose, then let them throttle or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Samsung was alerted to this, which to me is incredibly funny because it's their thing, Samsung's response, and this is from PC Magazine article, Samsung decided to conduct an internal investigation and the company plans to make an official announcement about it soon.
Yeah. I mean, that's bullshit.
Well, right.
I mean, they built that in, and they built it in for a reason, and they didn't want to tell people about it because it makes their stats look better, the battery life looks better, and whatever. So, like, win-win for them, and they didn't want to tell people about it.
Effect of this is that benchmarks for Samsung phones in various benchmarking tools have all been pulled.
Yeah. I mean, despite the fact that those benchmarks probably weren't changed because, I mean, maybe the battery life benchmarks, but like all the, as I said, apparently 3D Mark and so on, they were not included.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course, like there you want to see the fault, like there right. You want to have the really nice numbers to say, hey, we're this fast.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean, if it was like a side effect of something they did and they would have said, oh, wow, we didn't intend to do this. And it just somehow like some bug affected the performance. I would have said, okay, but like you don't create a list of 10,000 apps.
Right.
Like just by accident. Like that's not what happens. So.
Right. Yep. And so as far as I know, I haven't seen a follow-up that says Samsung has figured out what's going on. You would think that Samsung would have learned from Apple's whole fiasco where they were trying to fix a problem where some iPhones with weak batteries would crash and just didn't tell people they were doing that.
Yeah.
And then it turned into what everyone was calling battery gate.
Yeah.
And
which was also crappy. Like, I mean, tell people about it.
Exactly. Apple should have been very transparent about that. Yeah. And while people would have complained about what Apple was doing, it would have been out there in the open. Mm-hmm. And I think the overall response would have been less harsh than it ultimately was.
Yeah, I mean, we still would have gotten battery gate because, there's always
a gate. Because people love complaining.
Exactly. But people are Germans?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
There's a little bit of German in all of us, I think.
Yeah, sounds like it. As I said, like, if this was the first time, I would have, like with Apple, I would have said, okay, it was wrong. But I would have said, okay, like, maybe you had good intentions. Mm-hmm. This is the second time. And like, nope. Like, this is stupid.
I agree. Samsung doesn't get a pass for just not realizing it.
No. This is a case where you shouldn't copy Apple. Simple as that.
That's right. But that's a problem for Samsung. They just don't know when to not copy Apple.
Yeah. Or copy Apple properly. Like, if they had done it properly, like, The new solution with, like, okay, there's a message and there's a checkbox and then, or like a switch and stuff like that, then it would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not like that. This looks like cheating.
It totally looks like cheating.
Yeah, which is probably what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, cheating under the mantle of we're optimizing for games so games run better. Which, as I said, I have in general nothing against. Like, if you know it's happening and games run better and you're like, you're okay with that, yeah, why not?
Sure. I agree, but that's not what's happening here.
No. I don't think so.
No. Hey, this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts. I know, total shock for you. You haven't ever heard this before, but it's true. TSO Hosts is being incredibly generous by giving us the bandwidth and server space that we need so we can stream shows to you like this this intimate discussion about technology between Patrice and me. previous weeks where it's a large panel of people and we have a lot more topics. It's great because it's all there for you. You can watch live or you can go and watch or listen later at your leisure. And without TSO Hosts' generous support, we would not be here. So it's absolutely awesome that they're supporting us. Now, what they're asking for us in return for the support they're giving is that we go out on social media and give them a thank you, just a shout out, and let them know that we appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. That's all they're asking. Now, if you do need a domain or some hosting, well, they will give you a discount on that. Use the code BTN20 when you check out, and you'll get a discount on their hosting and domain name services. So that's awesome too. So thank you, TSO Hosts. Also, we are sponsored by Imond Max, and they are awesome because they will fix your Apple gear for you. And they will do it in an environmentally responsible way. So instead of doing what happens when you go to a lot of other places, where it's a crack open the device, pop in a new logic board, hey, it's working, good, your problem's fixed. No, they go in and figure out what actually failed on the logic board and fix that part. So, you know, if you're someone that's a little rough on those USB ports and you manage to break one, well, they can fix that. And they will also sell you gear. They can lease you gear. They can do data recovery. And they're just all around awesome people. So If you need to get your Apple gear fixed, head over to iMen Max. Let them know that you're a BTN fan and they'll give you a discount on whatever you're getting there. So thank you to iMen Max for being a sponsor as well. And Patrice, do you mind helping me out and telling people where the chat room is?
Not at all. If you're listening to this live, which you can usually every Thursday at 8 p.m. UK, so 7 p.m. UK time, 8 p.m. my time. but I guess this week, for example, we do sometimes shift the shows. And so head over to BritishTechNetwork.com to check the show times. There's a calendar. But if you're listening to this live, you can go to the live chat and talk to us right while we're doing this. And how you do that is easy. You just go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and that's it. There's a form, you just click connect and that's it. You're in. But let's say you're listening to this in your car, in your favorite podcast player, like a lot of us do, or on a walk, that's how I listen to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. There's still a way to get to the chat and to the links and to the cool things and everything that we've talked about. And that way is to head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. I'll repeat that, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and you navigate to the 10th of March. I always said, February.
The funny thing is, I was thinking the 10th of February in my head.
Okay, good. That was connection here, across the Atlantic. Yeah,
total brain connection.
10th of March, 2022. And there you will find everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for having my back on that one. And hey, do you have a cool thing this week?
I do. And since we were talking about TSL host, and this is probably the time to pick this, I have something that, one, you could probably install it on a TSL host server, but you can also use it to prepare things that you want to run on those servers. You might have heard about Docker.
Oh.
Very popular is Docker Desktop. On a Mac or actually on all platforms almost. But it's honestly not great. It does get the job done, but there's also the whole license thing that they changed recently and they keep kind of pushing more and more behind the paywall. And a lot of people don't want that. And there is an alternative to it called Rancher Desktop, which is And under the hood, it's the very popular Rancher OS, which is a minimal container OS that's running. And it's, we as a company just did, not the entire company, but my teams at least, we moved from Docker Desktop to Rancher Desktop and it was super easy. You download the app on a Mac, drag it into the applications, start it, it asks for a password to install a few things, and that's it. And then you can use Docker as before, all you need. And so if you want to prepare, let's say a really cool website that you're working on and want to deploy that as a Docker container on TSL host, for example, on a server, like we're doing at BTN, all our things are Docker containers, then you can use this and it's free and it works really well and it's actively maintained and all of that.
This is really
cool. It can even do Kubernetes. So if you want to go get into that, really nice, really easy.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that it does Kubernetes, mm-hmm. That's when I was saying, oh wow, as I was looking at this.
Yeah, they can do both. You can switch between, you can do with Kubernetes without, they don't force you to. They're as I said, they're just easy and it works on Windows. It works on Linux, I think. It definitely works on Mac, Intel, and ARM. So easy peasy.
That's really cool. For those of us that actually get what this is, we're super excited right now. and for yes. Everyone else, it's okay that you don't get what this is.
Exactly. This is very specific.
It's very specific. But for the people that need this, this is so cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So Rancher Desktop at rancherdesktop.io.
Awesome. Okay. My pick does not involve needing to understand Docker, Rancher, or Kubernetes.
Good.
Mine is a cool thing that NASA is doing with the first Artemis flight that's going to orbit the moon. And what they're doing is something similar to what they did with Pathfinder Mars mission, where you could have your name included on the mission.
Which one was the last one? I keep forgetting the names.
There's so many. They have all blended together. Whatever the most recent Mars mission is, that's the one where you could have your name included on the rover. And so what they're doing with
Perseverance.
Perseverance. Thank you.
Yes, that was the last one. Yeah.
Okay. So what they're doing with Artemis 1 is putting all of the names onto some data storage device, and then including that with the Artemis spacecraft. So your name will be on this data stick or whatever it is that goes around the moon and comes back to Earth. So if you want your name included on the Artemis 1 mission, you just go to this special webpage on the NASA.gov website and you add your name, and there you go.
I just did. I got my boarding pass.
You get your boarding pass.
Yeah, I got it. I got a really nice, really nicely designed, like with a perforated, like.
Yes, it's like what they did with the Perseverance boarding passes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And they're done well enough. 1.3
million miles earned. That would be cool.
Right. Yeah. So they look nice enough that if you want, you could print them out. And I did that with my Perseverance pass. So I will start collecting my boarding passes for NASA missions.
That's funny. That's actually not a bad idea. They should print them. And on the other hand, you have all that wood that you don't want to.
Yeah, that's true.
1.3 million miles.
Yeah.
I wish I had that on my frequent flyer card.
Me too. Yeah, the frequent flyer miles for the Mars mission. That was a lot.
Oh, that's a lot.
It was a big number.
Yeah, and just think about it when they do the return mission. That's twice as much.
Right.
It's a round trip flight. So.
Right. Yeah. So I feel kind of ripped off now. I realize I'm only getting half the miles for the Perseverance mission.
It's probably even less. Mars is farther away than Moon, so much farther.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting ripped off here.
Yeah, I think so. No,
but it's actually it's really
awesome.
Cool.
It's
awesome. Really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, as always, every week here on the Big Show on Thursday and also the Mac Show on Friday. I want to remind everybody we did a Apple keynote poker on Friday last week.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow is the unveiling of the results, and it was really, really tight. So
I am looking forward to finding out the results. Yeah. And unfortunately, I won't actually be there, so I'll have to check in later.
Mm-hmm. You do. Yeah. So that's happening tomorrow. But everything else I'm doing, all the social media links, my Instagram and Twitter and whatnot, all of that is on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food related memories and stories, then head over to my podcast Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. Okay. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut on both. youtube.com/JayGamut for my videos. Here on Thursdays on the Big Show, Fridays on the Mac Show, except for tomorrow. I have a schedule conflict. Sorry, I can't be here. And let's see, most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, most Thursdays on In Touch with iOS. And Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again, and we have brought Apple Context Machine back to life, but it is now called The Context Machine. And Oh, and I just did the first episode of The Slice, which is Kelly Goumont's new Apple-focused show. And we talked about Apple's media event. And others. I've done others. Anyhow, I get around. So Google me and you can find me all the places.
Very nice. And I'm guessing the schedule conflict is you having to buy pants for all your big boy podcasts.
For all the big boy podcasts, yeah. And it's going to take a while because there's therapy involved. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a really stressful thing, pants.
Yeah, totally. I can totally see that.
Yeah. Hey, Patrice, thank you for being here and hanging out with me today.
Anytime, Jeff.
This has been awesome, just getting to hang out with you. And to be clear, I love it when we have a full panel because everyone that's on is always just so awesome. Mm-hmm. But when we have a show where it's just two of us, it's really nice.
It's special. It's special.
It's a very special episode of The Big Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. And those of you that are here with us live, hey, thank you for being here as well. You are awesome. And those of you that watch or listen later, thanks for being part of the show too. You all rock. And thank you to TSO Hosts for sponsoring us. Give them a shout out on social media. Let them know that you appreciate that they support the British Tech Network. And thank you to Iman Max for sponsoring us as well. Go and hit them up for whatever your Apple gear needs are, whether it's getting something or getting something fixed. And hey, just so you know, we are partway through the month of March. And at the end of the month, if we don't have more money coming in, the Daily News Show ends forever. So those of you that are already sending in money to help sponsor that show, thank you. You rock. You're awesome. Those of you that are in a position where you can afford to send in some money and haven't yet, hey, please do. We would absolutely love that. And if you know people that should be listening to the show, get them involved because maybe they will pitch in some money too. So let's keep the Daily News Show happening. And then don't forget to check out the photo show because you're always going to learn something cool that you can use to take photos. And it doesn't matter if you're using a DSLR or a smartphone camera. It's all really good stuff. And it's people having a lot of fun too. So it's just great. All right. So check out all of that. And thanks again to everyone. And Patrice, thanks again for hanging out with me today. This is a lot of fun.
Anytime, Jeff. It was.
Yep. So come back next Thursday for the big show. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Friday, for the Mac show and find out how well or more likely how poorly I did on our Apple keynote poker. And everyone have an awesome weekend. We'll see you again next week.